Okay, today's daf is Yuma, daf Ayin Beis. Yuma Ayin Beis. We will start with Ayin Aleph on the Beis, about 10th to last skinny line. In the middle of a sugya, the Gemara has mentioned that the Big De Kahuna have a certain special status, which we spoke about by the Shem on yesterday's daf, and we have to do more today. We've mentioned in the past the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether Big De Kahuna are counted as a separate mitzvah saseh even, l'chavar l'sefaris, or is it just a heksher of avoda, like the Ramban holds. And the Gemara now is detailing how many threads were in each, how many strands were in each thread that was used in order to make the special begadim. So the Gemara says there are different words used in Parshas Tetzaveh to allude to us how thick the threads were. Was it mashzar? Was it sheish? Various different types of adjectives and descriptions that are used. So says the, we are in the middle now, we just spoke about sheish always means that there were six in each of the threads. So now we're talking about mashzar. And we're going to go through the brisa that stated what, how many each one is made of. And now we are going into which, what are the sources for all of those. And we're going to have halacha today. We're going to have agada today. Today, Yuma Ayin Beis is really jam-packed. That's what we try to make every day jam-packed. But today, really, you don't even have to go far. Just read the Gemara, and there's so much there. Says the Gemara, mashzar shmona minala. And how do I know that mashzar means that it is stitched with eight threads within each one? Very, very thick. If you think about trying to weave with those types of threads, but it was very thick. Dechsiv. Vayasu al shulei ha-me'il rimone tcheles va'argaman v'salash shoni mashzar. So you see, on the edge of the be'il, the bottom of the me'il, which had the bells and the pomegranates, as we mentioned one time earlier in this Pesach, the one time that the Kohen Gadol was able to walk around without making noise when he walked was the Kodesh, the Yom Kippur, on the day that he went into the Kodesh Kadashim. He was quiet. He didn't have the Me'il on, he didn't have the Big Day Zav on, he only had the Big Day Lavan on. And we mentioned earlier that showed that Kodesh Baruch was love. Right? You don't have to knock today. Just come on in. The Satan doesn't have any power, as we saw before. HaSatan, the Gematria 364. Right? Today, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're allowed to come in even without the bells. But this is a description of those hems on the bottom of the Me'il. So it says there, Mashzar, after describing it with Tcheles Agaman Tolash Shani, V'yolef Mashzar, Mashzar miParoches. And we learn Gzereshava from Paroches. Mabla Halon Estrim Va'arba. Just like by the Paroches, there were four types and six threads in each, as we already proved. So altogether, that's 4 times 6 is 24. So, Afkan Esrim Va'arba. So, to here, we assume the comparison is that the total is going to be 24. Even though here, there are only three types mentioned in the Pasuk. Tcheles Argaman Tola Hashani, Tavikol Chad V'chad Timnei. So, if you work it out, so if 8 each, so then 8 times 3 equals 24. The Gzeir Shava is in terms of the total. So, we split up and say, Mashzar must mean 8 each. V'nelef michoshen ve'efod. Why? So once you're learning from somewhere, you're learning from Gzeir Shava, so why don't you learn from choshen ve'efod? Malahal an esrim v'shmona, afkan esrim v'shmona. As we'll learn afterwards, choshen ve'efod have even more of a total in the terms of the threads that they use. 28. So why don't you compare it to that? The assumption of this question is, again, as is mentioned in the past, the Gzeir Shavas, even though they were handed down from Rebbe to Talmud, not every detail of every Gzeir Shava was handed down. Or else how can the Gemara ask the question? We have a Gzeir Shava. The Gemara says, ain't none of them done Gzeir Shava me'atzmo. You have to have a Rebbe. Kal v'chomer, you can say by yourself. But Gzeir Shava, you have to have a Rebbe. So we already have a Gzeir Shava. The answer is, as the Rishonim point out, the words were handed down of Gzeir Shavas, but not the exact details of which word compares to which context. There might be choices, and every Talmud chooses, if he doesn't have a Mesorah, how to compare the two different contexts. So here too, the Gemara says we have a Gzeir Shava, but maybe there'll be a better, stronger, tighter comparison between from the Me'il to the, from the Choshen the Eifo to the Me'il, and not from the Paroches to the Me'il. Isn't that better? So, and that would be even 28. So Gemara says, done in Davar Shalom Nomar Bozav, mi Davar Shalom Nomar Bozav. The Gemara says, no, it's better to compare the Paroches and the Me'il, where it doesn't have any threads of gold in it. La fuke choshen ve'efod shenem rabohen zav. Excluding choshen and efod that has a thread of zav in it, and that's why that's really a different category. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? An adarabba. No, it's better to compare choshen and efod to the me'il. Dun in beged mi beged, la fuke paroches to oalu. It's better to compare two things that you wear. It's better to compare a beged to a beged, meaning the choshen and the efod to the me'il, and not the paroches. The paroches is a curtain. How are you comparing that? Says the Gemara, Ela, Okay, you're right. Don't compare it to the Choshen and the Ephod. Before we continue, the Ritva points out, what was the Havamina? You wanted to compare it, instead of comparing it to the Parochas, which is 24 total, you wanted to compare it to the Choshen and the Ephod, which is 28 total. Don't we have a principle, first parak in Masechta Sukkah, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta? Whenever you're not sure what to do, the minimum. The minimum is what you should choose. Well, you could jump to 28, so we have a source. We have a source 24. Ask the Ritva. Kashali, halak amina lakaman uba alma tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Says the Ritva, it must be that the Gemara's assumption is that mashzar, specifically that word, is a very large threaded stitch. And therefore, we're trying, you don't apply a principle. If you have no idea what to do, so, okay, say the smaller number. But here, the Gemara must understand that mashzar means a large stitch, many threads together. So therefore, you don't go by, oh, the minimum, because mashzar might inherently mean more. Mishum de bashval on de mashzar l'ribuya asi. Kol mai de efshalasos mibeged kayam b'chazak adiv tfei. That's why the inherent translation of mashzar would override the principle of tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Okay, so we say mashzar is altogether eight. We don't compare it to the choshen and the ephod. So the Gemara says, okay, I have another choice. Eladana me avnate. Why don't you learn it from the Avnet that also has four types? Each one is kaful six, and altogether it's 24. So again, each will be six instead of eight, the opposite direction, smaller. So Gemara says, Vidonin beged, vidavar shlonomar barzav, mibeged, vidavar shlonomar barzav. And the Avnet is good, because that's a beged, and it doesn't have zahav in it, gold threads. That's why it's best. Most affiliated with the Me'il. They done in Davar She'ein Bo Zahav, Me'davar She'yesh Bo Zahav. Period. So that's one reason why you don't learn from Choshen and Ephod, because it's better to learn from Avnet, which compares it in both directions. Rav Mari Amar, next try, four lines for the bottom. Another reason why we don't learn from Choshen and Ephod, to make it the largest, to make it 28. Rav Mari Amar, Ta'asenu, Ksiv. By the Choshen it says, make it. Ta'asenu ksiv, ta'asenu lazeh velo la'acher. Make this way, make this derech for the choshen and not for anything else. Ta'asenu, it's an exclusionary word. Not other pshat. Rav Ashi Amar, a third way, v'asisa ksiv, shetiyu kol asiyos shavos. V'asisa, it says here, that it have to have all, by the me'il, by the rimonim, they all have to be made equally, all the threads. So you call us yos shavos, teichi nevid. And the problem here is, you're never going to be able to do that. If you have 24 total, and you have three types, so how are you going to, 28 total. If you wanted to have 28 total and three types, you can't split that evenly by three. 20, right, less than that can be, but not 24 you could do, but not 28. That's what the Gemara says. Nevit tlasa da asara asara. If you do three each and put 10 each, havilu tlasin. That's 30. Go down one. Nevit trade the tisha tisha. You want to do two of 9 each. That'll be 18. Vechada asara. And that'll equal 28. Amakra v'yasisa. She'll call us yoshavos. Period. So that's how we know that the shulei ha-me'il, mashzar, which describes shulei ha-me'il, would be eight altogether, 24 in total, and that is what mashzar means. So now we go next one.
What does the Gemara expect instead of a yasisa?
What do you mean?
Yasisa says that
they all have to be equal. Why do they have to do the math to show us that it's not, you can, Gemara explicates it. Gemara explicates it, what the choices are. But you're right. Even without that, we could have known that it wouldn't, it's not divisible by three equally. Last line. Me'il shneimas are minalan. So again, we're going through each one. The me'il now. The me'il which is made of all tcheles, minalan, well, mostly tcheles. How do you know that is, each stitch is 12? Dichsiv. V'yasisa es me'il ha'efod kalil tcheles. You shall make the me'il of the ephod. The me'il, they're all, it's called the me'il ephod, even though the me'il is a separate one of the begadim. You have the me'il, you have the ephod, you have the choshen. We mentioned on yesterday's daf, the ephod, Rashi's lashon and Parshas Tetzaveh, of Rashi's not knowing specifically what the ephod looked like, so therefore he starts off, Alibi Omer Li, but my heart tells me, and he quotes a 25-line Rashi to explain what the ephod is. His halachic intuition tells him what it looked like. But that's a separate kli. Me'il ephod, but it says Kalil Techeles. The Gemara assumes Kalil, as Rashi says, means Gadil, braided and woven together. together. So every thread was a double. The yalef, tcheles mi paroches, and you learn out tcheles, the xerashava from paroches. Malahalon shisha, afkan shisha. Just like there, each one was six, so to here, each is six. And as it says, kalil, which means a double. So each one is two. So that's how you know there are 12. Right? That's mi'il shemasar. V'nelef mishula v'rimonav. Why do you compare it to the paroches? Compare it to its hem, which we just proved was a different measure. Malahal and shmona afkan shmona. Right? Why? Instead of comparing the me'il to the paroches, compare the me'il to the shulei ha-me'il, to the hems. Donin kli mi kli, vein donin kli mi tachshit kli. No, we'd rather compare two kalim and not just the hem, the tachshit, the rimonim on the bottom. So that's why it's better to compare it to the paroches. The Gemara says, Adarabba, done in gufa mi gufa, vein done in gufa mi alma. Compare it to within itself. Compare the mi'il to the hem on the bottom of the mi'il. Isn't that better? Says the Gemara, hainu da'amrina. And that's exactly what we said on yesterday's daf, when we had the mucker for sheish, is six, and we said there's an extra one to say this applies to other begadim. Which other begadim? This one right here. Hainu da'amrinan, l'shar begadim, shlo nomer bohen sheish. So that is the mucker for the mi'il. The Bali Musar, As we alluded to before, note that the Kohen Gadol's Me'il with the Rimonim on the bottom is a Musar that we have to remember that every step we take is recorded. Just like every step the Kohen Gadol took is, you hear the bell shaking, and he can't hide, except when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur. But besides that, every step is measured and recorded, and upstairs, V'chol Ma'asecha B'sefer Nechtavin, as we know. Good. Paroches Esrim V'arba. The paroches is made out of very thick woven stitches, 24 threads in each. Dalid deshisa shisa, 4 of 6 each, right, as we said the pasuk before, because you have 6 types, and then you have 4 types and 6 of each. Lodina v'lodina, no argument on that, right? There's no need to have a discussion there, so the Gemara just makes that statement. Next, choshen ve'efod esher mishmona. They're the thickest, they have 28. Minalan. Again, the choshen is called the breastplate, but it was made out of thread. I mean, the stones were woven into it, but it was mostly made out of beged. We didn't allude to yesterday, but again, it had to do with yesterday's daf. The Urim Metumim was inside, according to Rashi. Rashi on Parshat Tetzaveh says the Urim Metumim was a shema mafarash that was put inside, and the Ramban also assumes that way. That was not a separate beged. That was mentioned in the Mishnah yesterday, but that's not one of the 8 begadim. The Urim Metumim was looked at as part of the choshen and the ephod altogether. Tosfos, remember earlier, the end of the last Tosfos in the first parak said it has to be that the Urim Tumim was put in even though it might not have worked. Without the Urim Tumim, Tosfos assumes that a Kohen would be mechusser begadim, even though it's not one of the 8. But it was a prerequisite for the 8. Tosfos says, the Le'al Chafal from a base, the Urim Tumim says the Gemara there, if you remember that Gemara, the 5 things that were different between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So one of them was Urim V'Tumim. Tosfos says, no, it doesn't mean it wasn't there. It just means it didn't work. Urim V'Tumim havu, shem lo kein, haya kohen gadol, mechusar begadim, ela lo hayu meshivin linish alin bahen. Sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides if they work or not. Remember the story by Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech, why do you have to go to the witch of Ein Dor? Why? Because he had massacred the city of Nov. So Urim V'Tumim wasn't interested in giving him an answer. And that's why he had to go. The Urim V'Tumim was there. Right, but Hashem didn't want him to go, didn't want to give him an answer. That's why he had to go to other sources in order to get an answer. What was going to happen with the Melchama tomorrow? But Tosfos says befeirish there, the Chaf Aleph Mabez, that you had to have the Urim Tumim, or else one is mechusar begadim. The Ksav HaKabbalah points out, we mentioned this also then, that the Rambam does not quote that the Urim Tumim was a separate entity. Nowhere do you see in the Rambam, which you should see, that they put the Shema Mefarish inside in order to have it be meshiv the questions. You don't see that anywhere in the Rambam. The Ksav HaKabbalah assumes that the Urim V'Tumim for the Rambam are the Avnei Choshen. They're one and the same. It says you put the Urim V'Tumim in, and they answer the Avnei Choshen, what lights up. According to Rashi and the Ramban, the Urim V'Tumim is inside, and that's what kind of generates the power. That's the power source, and then the stones light up. The Ksav HaKabbalah says, no, for the Rambam, I think they don't need a separate power source. Right? The stones themselves, Odev, Pitav, Arekas, all the stones themselves lit up and gave answers to the questions that were asked by the Melech, by the Av Beis Din, the Chulu. But it wasn't a separate Cheftza, because it's not listed. The Rambam would have said, in terms of the Seder of the Big Day Kahuna, that it would have been listed there. Remember, on the every letter was on the Urim and Tumim. Even though not every letter is in the Shvatim's names, it also said Shiftei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov and Shiftei Yeshurun. That was also on the stones. That's why the tests, even though you don't have it in the Shvatim, the test is covered. Shiftei Yeshurun, you got a Kuf in Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, so you got all the letters covered. Okay, we continue. So Choshen ve'Ephod, Esrim v'Shmona Minalan. So how do you know that it is so thick, the Choshen and the Ephod? Dichsiv, v'yasisa Choshen Mishpat, Ma'aseh Choshev, Kama'aseh Ephod, Ta'asenu. She'll make the choshen like the ephod. Zahav, tcheles, argamon, tolashani, v'sheish mashar. So the last four materials listed. Tcheles, argamon, tolashani, sheish. Right? Those are all mashar. So that's four, and we said before, mashar, arba'a, deshisa, shisa. We said before it's six, so that's four times six. Esrim v'arba. So far that's 24. Then the first item in the pasuk, zahav, arba'a. You assume it's four threads of gold and not six like the other ones. So the last four have six, that's 24, plus another four is 28. Ha Esrim Itzmanya, 28. Says the Gemara of Ema Zahav Nami Shisha. Why is there a different number of golden threads that are sewn in? Why is only four golden threads and six of the others in the pasuk? So two answers. Amar of Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Kra, Vikitzeitz Pesilim, Pesil Pesilim, Hare Kandalid. Because we say pisilim split into two, so that's for special pasuk. Besides that, overrides the gzeirah shava. The pasuk itself alludes to the number four. Ravashi amar kara different pshat laasos besocha tcheles uvesocha argaman. The gold must be intertwined into each of the other four materials. So if you have gold in each of the other four materials, and as we're about to see, it has to be the same number in each of the four materials. So you either have to write a multiple of four, starting with four, and the X one can't be six. It's got to be four or eight, and eight is too much, and six is not going to be equal, as we're about to say. So Hechi Nevin, again, how do we, if we want to split it up, how would it be done? Let's say, suggest six, like the other amounts in the pasuk. Nevin arba'a detreitre. If you want to make four sets of two, havilu tmanya, that's too many. That's eight. Nevin trei detreitre, two in each, v'trei dechad chad, and one of them will get two. V'yasisa, you call asios shavos, asios av shavos. So again, if you have four other materials, and you want an even number of gold inside, intertwined in each one, so then it has to be four. So that's why the last four materials have six each, that's 24, plus gold intertwined into each one, and that makes 28 altogether. Adkan, the ways and the amounts of threads in each beged. Now we go on to general ideas. Remember, this is the last Mishnah. So this is the last Mishnah relating to the Beis Hamikdash Yom Kippur. Beis Hashem, on tomorrow's daf, we start the last parak, which has to do with Yom Kippur, as we know it today. So the last Mishnah, what do we have the last? We finished the entire Avodah. So we talk about the Begadim. That's, you know, here on Daf Ayin Beis, the last Mishnah after the whole Avodah was done. And on Friday, he made the party after he came home on Daf Ayin. So today we have a general Mishnah, the one general Mishnah, which is the segue after the Beis Hamikdash Yom Kippur, before tomorrow's Yom Kippur Bizman Hazeh, we discuss all about the Begadim. So, says the Gemara, Amar Rechava, other halachas about the Begadim, Amar of Yehuda, Hamakareya Big Day Kahuna Loke. If somebody tears one of the Big Day Kahuna, that's an Isser De'oraisa, Shene'emar Lo Yikareya, cannot be torn. Maskav l'Ravacha bar Yaakov, v'dilma achikam rachmana. How do you know lo yikareya means an iser d'araisa? Maybe that's just a description. Ne'evid le'safa is by, the pasuk is by the me'il, describing the collar of the me'il. So maybe the Torah is just saying, make a thick collar, a hem, kihechi delo nikra, so that it doesn't tear. Not that there's an iser if it tears. Maybe that's how you should understand lo yikareya. So Gemara says, Miksiv shelo yikareya. There's no shin in there that it doesn't tear. It just says lo yikareya. Lo in the Torah means an issa d'araisa. Hishamer pen al or lo. One of those four words. And therefore, that is the issur. So that is one of the issurim here in Parshat Tetzaveh. There is a major machlokas we've shown him. The pasuk is by the me'il. And if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, only he quotes this by the issur of me'il. If you look in the Chinuch, in Mitzvah, Kuf Aleph, Shelo lahachris pi ha-me'il shel kohen gadol. Shem lo yikareya. That's the Chinuch. But if you look in the Rambam does not say that. The Rambam expands it. The Rambam says, in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, describing the me'il, and he says, Hakorei pi me'il lo, kesh, nemer lo yikareya, v'hu adin l'chol beit kahuna. Chol beit kahuna. Shahakorei osam derech hashchasa loke. If anybody tears them in a destructive manner, you get malchus. So the Rambam does two things. Number one, he expands it to other beit kahuna, but number two, he then limits it. And the Mishnah Melech points this out. It sounds like for the Rambam that the me'il, it doesn't matter why you tear it. You tear it, you get malchus. Asur daraisa. By other begadim, only if it's derech hashchasa. Only if it's in a destructive manner. That's what the Rambam says. You tear the me'il, you get malchus. Other begadim, derech hashchasa. That's the Mishnah Melech Sa'ara that you expand it. But why does he expand it? Because our Gemara. What does our Gemara say? It doesn't limit it to the me'il. The Gemara says, Hamakareya big de kahuna. It doesn't limit it. That's why the Pashtus, like the Rambam says, he gets it from the Gemara that it is not limited. The Minchas Chinuch also has a discussion of this, of tearing the me'il. He quotes the Rambam and the Mishnah LeMelech, and then he says, "Ube'emes b'shas inim avur klal the dafka derech hashchasa." He says, "I agree with the Rambam that you should expand it to other big day kahuna, but why should you limit it to derech hashchasa?" He says, "Mikol makom mitzara svara b'koreya amanas l'sakein ein svara lasar." It must be because if I'm doing something, let's say I'm tearing it in order to fix it somehow. So then why should that be asur? That's why the Rambam says derech hashchasa. Because if you're doing it in a destructive, in a constructive way for the beged, so then misvara the Rambam must think. Must be the Rambam has a source somewhere. But that is the machlokas between the chinuch and the Rambam in terms of the iser of lo yikare. Good. There's more, but let's continue, because three yisurim right here. Number one is the iser of tearing beit kahuna. Next, Amar Rebbe Elazar, ha-meziach choshen me'al ha'efod. If somebody loosens, we know the choshen and the efod are connected to each other. If somebody loosens the connection between the choshen and the efod, v'ha-mesir badi aron, or somebody removes the rods in the aron, lo ke'one gets malchus. Shene'amar lo yizach v'lo yasuru. Let's just finish this, and then we'll talk about it. Maskev l'ravacha bar Yaakov, same kind of question. How do you know these mean isurei da'araisa? V'dilma ki kama rachmana, chadkinu, tighten them, v'yavdinu shapir, and make them in a strong way, k'dei shelo yizach v'lo yasuru, so that they don't. But maybe it's just a continuation of the sentence. Not that you shouldn't, but maybe it's so that they don't. So Gemara says, "Miksiv shelo yizach v'shelo yasuru." Again, there's no shin there to say that it's going back to the first half of the pasuk. That's why we assume it's separate isurei d'oraisa. Good. So again, other isurim relating to the meziach choshen and the meser badi aron. Couple of points. First of all, what's the ta'am, the meziach, to loosen the choshen and the ephod, or to remove it for sure? But we'll see, even to loosen it. It's a beautiful Shemana Tov in the fifth chelek, where he says, what's the ta'am of the reason behind the ephod and the choshen? So he says, you remember the Gemara in Zvachim, on Daf Peches, where the Gemara goes through every one of the Big Day Kahuna, how it's mechaper for a different Aveira. Every one of the Big Day Kahuna. The Me'il is mechaper for this, and the Ksonis is mechaper for Gili Arayas, and the Ksonis is mechaper for Shichas Damim, like Ksonis Pasim, right? And the Mechrasayim are mechaper for Gili Arayas. It goes through each of the Begadim. So, says the Gemara there says, the ephod is mechaper on Avodah Zarah. And the choshen is mechaper on ibus hadin, right? Crookedness in mishpat. So says the Shemen Atov, the ephod is ben adam lamakom, right? Avodah Zarah, and the choshen is ben adam lachaveira. You can't separate them. You can't loosen the connection between the two of them. Yadus, they go together. The ephod merami is al yoni ben adam lamakom. Mashenke na choshen ba al yoni ben adam lachaveira. V'alze ba ha iser shelo yizach ha choshen me'al ephod. Yisir lahavdil afilu kuchot asayra. Bein hani shnei chalki atara, bein adam lamakom, o bein adam lachaveiro. And he quotes, you could say it in different ways. He quotes from Revoshe. He says, how are they connected? If somebody is ma'aves the din, if somebody is crooked in judgment, that shows you have a lack of emuna. Because you think that you have control over dini mamanis. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is not in charge. So that shows a connection. Or the other way you could say it, he quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that avodah zara is itself ibus of yashrus haseichel, and it's exactly parallel to ibus hadin. Either way, there's a connection between the ben adam al-makom and adam al-chaveiro. Because it's this week's parsha, I'll repeat the thought I've mentioned many times from Rav Huttner, that is quoted The Rav Avner quotes it from the about the Chavetz Chaim. It's a Rashi at the end of this week's parsha. Rashi quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu in Perach Avdal and Mishpatim in Matan Torah take two. The avoda that takes place at Har Sinai is they take a karban, they shech the karban, and Moshe takes half the dam and sprinkles it on the am, and half the dam and sprinkles it on the mizbeach. It's a pasuk in the end of this week's parsha. Asks Rashi, he takes half the dam, vayikach chatzi adam, mi chalako, who split the dam? Who split the dam? So Rashi quotes, b'malach v'chalako. A malach came and split the dam. Asks Rav Hunter, you need a malach to split the dam in half? You shech the karban. You need a malach. Oh, it's very hard to split dam in half. What, Moshe Rabbeinu can't measure it out? So says Rav Hutner. Says no. He says, what's the message of the dam? Half the dam is on the mizbeach. Let's be another lamakom. Half the dam is on the people. That symbolizes another b'chavero. Lest anyone in history ever say that one is more important than the other one, and one takes precedence over the other one. A malach came and split it. Exactly equal, and they go together. And then he adds the great line, and he says, the godless of Israel may. Right, so Meir's Hakohen from Radin. The godless of him was not that he wrote the Chafetz Chaim on Hilchos Shmiras HaLashon, and not that he wrote the Mishnah Brura on all of Halacha Arachayim. The godless is that the same author penned both works. He spent so much of his life both on Bein Adam LaMakom, both on Bein Adam LaChavero. Says that's the godless of the Chafetz Chaim, that he spent time on both areas, and he made a difference on both areas. Shmuel Meir Hakohen from Radin. Okay. So that is related to the loosening of the choshen from the ephod. The other issue to mention is what about the removing the badei ha'aron? So there's a lot of symbolism to that as well. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tzadik Vav mentions two ideas for the isser of the removal of the badim from the aron. He says, number one, practically, we know the anan, whenever the anan moved, we had to move. So, if you don't have the badim in, so what's going to happen? You're going to be in a rush. You're going to quickly get the badim in. You might not put them in so properly. When we're in a rush, we don't always make sure that everything is secure. And Rachman al-Islan, the aron might fall if you don't put them in properly. Leave them in there, number one. Number two, says the Sefer HaChinuch, every kli has unbelievable ramifications in Shamayim. Every kli is symbolic of a lot upstairs. So you'd think the badim are just for usage. But no, there's so much about the symbol of every kli. So the badim are part of the kli, so leave it in there. It's not just functional. Similar, the Meshech Chachma doesn't quote the Chinuch, but the Meshech Chachma says, we know that there is so much about the Aron that is not natural. Even though the Aron is made up of raw materials, as we're going to describe, but it's miraculous, as the Gemara says. The Aron didn't take up any space. Remember, we had it earlier in the Masechta that the Badim stuck out a little bit from the Paroches, but mathematically, it shouldn't be able to fit in the Kodesh Kodashim, and we know, no say yes, no sav, we're going to learn later on, it's very heavy, but it carried itself. So everything is miraculous about the Aron. Says the Meshech Chachma, if we would only put the Badim in when we need to move it, that would give the impression that we're actually carrying it. And it's really our picking it up. Leave the badim in there. Leave the badim in there. You carry it, you're not really carrying it, but they're not purely functional. The most common shot given for the badim is that the badim symbolize those who are machzik Torah, and the Aron is Torah, and there has to be a deep connection between the Yisachar and Zvulins, the ones that are machzik Torah, and the ones that are learning Torah. Don't not allow to be mesir, the badim from the Aron. So we have the three Yisurim here. Tearing the Bigdei Kahuna, which by the way, I forgot to mention, does not apply if they're totally worn out. Remember the Mishnah says that we used to use that for the wicks by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So how can you use it if you have an Isser of Mekarei Bigdei Kahuna? So the Rosh Hashir says, once it gets worn out, it doesn't have the status of Begadim anymore. So we have the Isser of tearing the Bigdei Kahuna, we have the Isser of loosening the connection between the Choshen and the Ephod, and number three, we have the Isser of removing the Badim from the Aron. Those are the three Yisurim related to Bigdei Kahuna, besides the Mitzvahs Aseh, that the Rambam quotes, Mitzvahs Aseh Lamed Gimel, to actually wear the Begadim. Weiter. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina asked the following contradiction. Ksiv, Bitaba'os Ha'aron Yu Abadim. Lo Yosir Mimenu. You're not allowed to take the Badim out, which sound like they don't move. The Ksiv, V'huva Es Badav Bataba'os. And it says that you put the Badim in the Taba'os, which sounds like the Gemara assumes they could be a little loose. They don't have to be so tight that they can't move. So is it tightly fitted? You're not allowed to take it out or not? So, okay, it's not misparkin v'inishmatim. It's a little loose, but it doesn't come out. Rashi describes that the edges of the badim were thicker than the inside. So you had to squeeze to get it on. But once it was on, it's like a ring. Sometimes somebody gets their ring stuck on, a woman gets a ring stuck on their finger, they get it on, so it's loose, but then you can't get it over the knuckle. Right? You got it on, but, you know, you can't get it off. That was the badim. If you tried really hard, you could get it off. Right? There's an issa d'oraisa, so it has to be possible to get it off. But that is the mitzias. Tani nami achi. B'tabos Aharon ha'iyu abadim yachol lo yu zazim imkoman. You might think it doesn't move at all. Tamalomar v'huvas badav b'tabos. No, they're in the tabos, but they're in the rings, but they move a little bit. Iva huvas badav yachol yu nechnasin v'yotzin. In and out. Tamalomar b'tabos Aharon yu abadim ha'ketzan esparkim enishpatim. Good. Amar b'chamim barchanina. My dechsev atzei shitim omdim. What does it mean? The atzei shitim, the wood used by the Mishkan, omdim, were standing. So again, this has a lot to do with the next couple of parshias, not this one. So you've got to remember this, so we can spend a lot of time on this next line. Sha'omdim derakadei lasan. Number one, we learned three halachas from atzei shitim omdim. Number one, they have to be used the way they stand up. Right? They have to be stand up straight. That's how you use the wood in the Mishkan. There is a expansion of this based on the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Mem Hey. See on the side, Mem Hey Mem Beis, where the Gemara says, every time you do a mitzvah with something that grows from the ground, you have to use it the way it grows. Derek Adei Lasan. That's the makar for the Lulav and the Esrog. The Dal and Minim have to be holding straight up, and that's the minog of Klal Yisrael, to hold the Esrog upside down until after the bracha, to be able to be Yotze over Lasi Yasan. Right? That's what we do, because we're not Yotze if we hold the Esrog upside down. There is an interesting tour, which we don't always quote when we quote this, and that is, the tour quotes, even the Hatzadeya, that even the walls of the sukkah, if you use wood for the walls of the sukkah, so then they should be straight up. The Torah quotes that from the Medaktakim, Tafresh Lamed. Yesh Medaktakim, kishosin dofen mikanim lahamidan derka de lasan, kedamrinan gabi lulav, shen yotzen bo'el derka de lasan. And the Torah himself says, ve'eino tzarech. I don't think you have to. Kivan shetefanos ksheirem mikol davar. You can make the dofen, the walls out of anything. So don't worry about it. So ask the Bach, Why does the Torah say in Sarech? It's a mitzvah. You're right. There are three requirements for tfanos. Right, I'm sorry, for schach. For tfanos, you can use anything. But once you're using something that grows on the ground, why don't you say this is part of the chefzah shel mitzvah? So this might have to do with Be'ez Hashem, something we're going to get into Be'ez Hashem in 2 weeks. The author, one of the first major sugyas in Maseches Sukkah, what is the definition of a sukkah? Is it just the schach, or is it the walls also? Even though the walls don't have really many requirements about it. That's going to be a major machlokas we shown him. Rashi Rambam, we'll see. But maybe this has to do with that. If this is not really part of the sukkah halakha, then who cares? If it's a chefzah shel mitzvah, then it should be straight up. Maybe that's the machlokas between the medaktakim and the Torah. But says the Bach, Efshar Lomar, that the medaktakim say, how would they answer the Torah? You're right, you can use whatever you want. But if you use something that grows from the ground, it has to be straight up. I have a question. Medaktakim, every time it has to be straight up, what about the schach? What about the schach isn't straight up? So suggest the Bach, a chiddush. He says maybe the only isra of derech kedei lasan is upside down. That's a problem. Sideways is not a problem. Why? Because a lot of times branches of trees go horizontally. It goes up and then horizontal. That's not a problem. So the only problem, so even he says the medaktikim would agree that horizontally is okay. The only problem is upside down. That's the derech kedei lasan. Right, we never thought about that. You would think that horizontally is not. But he says, look, trees grow sideways. So that's why the only problem of derech kedei lasan, says the Bach, very important Bach, Tuf Reish Lamed, is only upside down. And that's why schach is not a violation of derech kedei lasan. That's the Bach suggestion to answer up for the medaktikim. Oh, so what about the Nanuim? Exactly. The post can talk about what about the Nanuim. Do you say you have to make sure that the Nanuim, you hold it straight up? I think the Minhag of Chai Yisrael is not to be as machfit about that, you know, to do it out. Because when you're holding it, you're already Yotze the Mitzvah. The Nanuim is all a Minhag. And it's a Minhag to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of all directions. So maybe we're pointing. Maybe that overrides. That's all a Minhag. That's not as required. So that's number one. Atzei Shitim Omdim. That's also, Rav Shechter likes to point out, the Tosefta in Sanhedrin that says, how could you learn Atzei Shitim Omdim to call it Torah Kula? That all mitzvahs, what does Sukkah have to do with the Mishkan? So he says, there's a Lashon of Rabbi Meir in the Tosefta in Sanhedrin in Perek Zion, Tosefta Dalid, where the halacha is quoted, if somebody asks a Rebbe a question, Shalok Ke'inyan. Let's say it's Erev Pesach, and somebody comes to ask the Rebbe a question about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. So does he have to ask Mechila for asking a question out of context? So the first opinion says, yeah, he has to ask Mechila. Rabbi Meir says he doesn't have to ask Mechila. Why? Kol HaTorah Kula Inyon Echad. That's the language of the Tosefta. The whole Torah is one unit. The whole Torah is one unit, meaning you could compare Mishkan and Sukkah. And you're allowed to compare. Yes, there are categories within Torah. Like the Gemara sometimes says, Mamona mi Isura lo Yalfinon, Mamona mi Knasa lo Yalfinon. There are categories, but in general, there can be a connection. And that's the whole point of Gzeira Shava. The whole basis of Gzeira Shava, you're comparing two totally different contexts, you have the same word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant that connection, Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan, Inyan Echad. Okay, there's more relating to that. I think we might have had a Daf B'Inyan share about that. I don't remember. If not, we need to. And then we will try to talk more about that topic. But we have to continue. Dabar Acher. Second line we learn from Ati Shita Omdim. Omdim. Dabar Acher Omdim. Shema Amidin Es Sipuyan. They support their plated. They were all plated and lined with gold. So Ma'amidin Es Sipuyan. They help their plating stand. Dabar Acher Omdim. Shema Tomar Avad Sivran Ubatel Sikuyan. You might think that their hope and their outlook is lost. Tamalomar omdim sheomdim leolam ulolamim. It's there forever. What does it mean? It's there forever. So Rabbeinu Bachai on this pasuk says it's there forever in that no matter, even if the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash Shamala was not destroyed, and it's just waiting to come down. Relates to the machlokas. We'll also have a Maseches Sukkah between Rashi and Tosfos whether the third Beis Hamikdash is coming down from Hashem or we're going to build it. Machlokas, towards the end of Maseches Sukkah. But, says Rabbeinu Bachai, that's what it means, omdim. It's forever there, it's upstairs, even though the Beis Hamikdash Shalmata was destroyed, not the Beis Hamikdash Shalmala. That's Rabbeinu Bachai. If you look at the Svarno, in the first Svarno, Baris Mekudeh, he says otherwise. Beautiful Svarno. He says, this pasuk is about the Mishkan. He says, the Mishkan was never destroyed. He says, the Batei Mikdash were destroyed. The Mishkan was put away. The Mishkan was never burned. It was put into disuse once the Aron was taken by the Plishtim and Shiloh closed up shop after 369 years and Eli died and they stopped using it. But the Mishkan was never destroyed. There's something unique, says the Svarno, about the Mishkan. You know why? Because the Luchos were in it, right? The Luchos HaEdus were in it, the original ones. And even though it was later on, but he says that, plus Moshe was involved and plus Bezalel was involved. So that's why it's eternal. Says, you never have such lishma in terms of building something, so it can never be destroyed. Right? If everyone wants to speak about any type of project or building, you got to quote that Svarno. Svarno says, when something is done lishma from the outset, so it says it never can be destroyed. It's eternal. That's what the Svarno says. A Mishkan has something that the Batei Mikdash didn't have. Good. We continue. Amar v'yamar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Last line. My dechsev is bigdei hasrod l'sareis b'kodesh. The bigdei hasrod, which Rashi on Chumash says bigdei srod are the begadim used to cover up the kalim. But the Gemara here darshens it all related to bigdei kahuna. Ilmale but it's srod from the word srid. Ilmale bigdei kahuna were not for the bigdei kahuna. Lo nishtayim yisrael anshei yisrael saridu palit. We wouldn't have anybody left from the Jewish people, right? They save us. How does the bigdei kahuna save us? So the pashtus of the Gemara is that, like the Gemara says in Zvachim Peches, that they give us kapara. That's the simple understanding. The bigdei kahuna themselves give us atonement. Rashi doesn't want to say that for some reason. Rashi says bigdei kahuna means, well, when you wear the bigdei kahuna, you do the avoda, and that gives you kapara, which is not the pashtus. Right, Sarach Ian, not for now, why Rashi doesn't just accept the bigdei kahuna themselves. But Rashi feels the need to say, sha'al yedein, makrivin, or karbanos, ha-machaprin al Yisrael. Good. We also mentioned a couple of days ago that also how they save us in the story of Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great. So that's also Saridu Palit, they saved us walking out. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Debei Rabbi Shimon Tana. Begadim, so now getting back to a couple of details about the Begadim. Begadim, Shegordin Osan Kibir Yasan Miklehem. What does Sarid mean? It means that they used to make the begadim on the looms, and they used to make it in a way, which took a lot of chachma, that it was already totally made on the loom. You could just slide it off. Umisardin mayan klum, and there was a little bit left over on the loom. But the begadim were made total. It wasn't like you had to stitch it together afterwards. Mayhi, what was the little part left over? Ishlakashamar ilu maisa machad. That little part was sewed on, but everything else was whole. But didn't we learn big dekuna ein osan osan maisa machat ela maisa oreg? It was all woven together as one baguette. You didn't sew anything together after it was made. Shenemar maisa oreg. Amar Abaya lo nitzrach ela lebeis yad shalahem. You're allowed to sew on the sleeves afterwards. Kidetanya. Beis yachal bide kahuna ne'ereges bifnei atzma v'nidbekes imabeged umagas at pisas yad. It was sewn on afterwards and it went down all the way. It was long sleeves. Long sleeves. The ksonis was, and the me'il were long sleeves. Period. Amar Rechava Amar Yehuda. Once we had Rechava Amar Yehuda, so we have more of his statements. Shalosh Aronosh Asa Betzalo. Betzalo made three. Remember, we had a Machlokes Tanaim and Rishonim earlier how many Aronos there were. But the Aron, the first Aron that was made in the Mishkan, as Rashi quotes this Gemara in Parshas Truma, there were three Aronos, one inside the other one. Emsoi Shel Eitz Tisha, the middle one, which was 9 high of wood, Pnimi Shel Zahav Shmona, and the inner one was 8, and Chitzon Asara Umashu, right, it was a little bit more, a little 10 and a mashu. Again, meaning so it was all equal on top, and you put the kapores on top. Batanya achad asar umashu, it says 11 and mashu. Lokash hakamanda amar yish ba'av yotefach, hakamanda amar ein ba'av yotefach. Well, it depends if the bottom of the outer box was a tefach thick. If it was, as has been pointed out, it made the aron extremely heavy. That is all solid gold, extremely heavy, and that also connects to what we said before, that everything about the Aron was miraculous. So, it is, it's okay. Umay Mashu, what height is the Mashu? There, that's the little crown that goes all the way on top of the Aron. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Ziramim, there are three crowns, three Kalim with crowns. Shel Mizbeach, Vishel Aron, Vishel Shulchan. The Mizbeach HaZahav, and the Aron, and the Shulchan. Shel Mizbeach, and each one symbolizes, obviously, another attribute of the Jewish people. This is exactly parallel to the Marsha says, you don't need the Marsha to say it, but to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that we know the three crowns that the Jewish people were given. Says the Gemara, Shel Mizbeach Zocha Aaron Unitalo. Aaron got the one of the Mizbeach, which is, that is Kahuna. Right, Shal Shulchan Zacha David Unitalo, that's Malchus, David Melech got that, Shulchan symbolizes Gashmias, Shal Aron Adayin Munachu, and the Aron, which symbolizes Torah, that's Munach, Kolarotza Likach Yavovi Yikach, whoever wants to come and take the crown of Torah, it is there for the taking. Shema Tomar Pachosu, you might say, oh, it's a lesser of any of the crowns, I want to be a Kohen, I want to be a Melech, Tamalomar, Bi Malachim Yimlochu. Tell me the Chachamim are kings themselves. The Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks nothing less of a Talmid Chacham. Right? When we wish for our children, what do we wish them to be? We don't wish them to be kings. That's a lot of dafka that what we think about. It's hard to be the king. We wish them to be a Baal Chesed and a Talmid Chacham. Be Malachim Yimlochu. And if you look at the Rambam quotes this. Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Talmud Torah. This is not just an Agadah Torah. The Rambam thinks that you have to quote it here at the beginning of Paragimel. Shpishlosh Ksarim Nechtu Yisrael. Keser Torah v'Keser Kuna v'Keser Malchus. Keser Kahuna Zachabo Aaron. Shnemer v'Haisalo L'Zarachara Briskunas Olam. Keser Malchus Zachabo David. Keser Torah Munach v'Omeid Umuchan Lakol. Shnemer. So this pasuk is not in our Gemara. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. It's a Morasha for the whole Kihila. Kilas Yaakov, call me Shayirtze Yavov Ito. Shema Tomar Shosan Aksarim Gidolimi Keser Torah. You might think that the Kohen and the Melech. No, Hari Omer Bi Malachim Yimlochu Halamata Shekeser HaTorah Gadol Mikeser Kahuna the Keser Malchus. It says the Beferish, quoting our Gemara, quoting the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Klayakar, I'm not going to read it right now, but the Klayakar goes through the measurements. We mentioned in last year's Parsha Shir, if you want to look it up again. The measurements for the Aron and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, the measurements are very telling. Measurements are very telling. Some of them are half measurements and some of them are whole measurements. I think he said the half measurements are with the Aron because you always have to think about you haven't done our part in Torah yet. We're halfway there. We're halfway there, we're not all there yet. So it's always, right, when it comes to some of the other Kalim, it's whole. Right, we have enough Gashmias. We're full, we're complete. We have it all. So the Klayakar there in Perachafei in Shmos goes through these three counts. But again, Torah is there for all to take. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shlach Kadosh, that every Shabbos we have a chiyuv to be mechadish chidushim. And after Shabbos, our neshama goes back to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and, you know, woe you mechadish. And the Mishnah Berurah says, if somebody doesn't have a koach to be mechadish, you have to learn something new. To learn something. We got to come back after Shabbos with something upstairs. Right? That's the neshama Yisera doesn't only need the cholent of the kugel, right? The neshama Yisera needs some type of dvar chiddush. If we hear it chiddush in shul, that's also okay. We just have to internalize it, right? If somebody tells us something, it's also okay. Anyway, That's the Keser Torah. It's open for everyone. Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Ksiv Zor, Vikarina Zer. It's spelled without the Yud. You can read it Zor, stranger. Vikarina Zer. Zacha Nasis Lo Zer. If one is Zoche, then it could be a crown on a person. Lo Zacha Zara Bimanu. If one is not Zoche, and one misuses Torah, then it is a stranger. Rabbi Yochanan Rami. Ksiv, we'll get back to that Hashem soon. Rami, Ksiv, Asisa Lacharon Eitz, Ksiv, Asu Aronas, Eshitim, singular and plural, who makes the Aron? Mikan, Tamar Chacham, Shemenei Iro, Mitzuvin, Lasos, Lo Malachto. Everybody has to help the Tamar Chacham. Right, and that's why the Tamar Chacham is the Aron and the Torah, so it's singular, but it's also plural. Mibayis, Michuz, Titzapenu, Amar Rava, Kol Tamar Chacham, Shein Tocho, Kabaro, Eino Tamar Chacham. A Tamar Chacham whose inside is not like his outside, it's not a Tamar Chacham, it's even worse. Because the more Torah a person knows, the higher standard he has to hold himself to. And he has to know that he has the kli for Kiddush Hashem and Rachman al Islam, the opposite. Right? That's why the Jewish people in general, but especially for Talmidei Chachamim and people who represent Torah, even at a higher standard. And if he misuses his Torah, he becomes disgusting to Hashem. Ish shoseh kemayim avla. Somebody drinks sin. Amar Bishua Baruch Meini, Amar Bionasan, my dechsev, lama zemechir biyat ksil liknos. Why does the fool have this to buy liknos chachma, velev ayin, and he has no heart? Oy lohem lison ein shaltam idi chachamim. Woe to the rabbis! Sheoskin batar vein bem yerushamayim. If they have Torah, no yerushamayim, so then woe to them, because they have the ben adam lamakom, but they don't have the ben adam lachavero. Machriz Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai screamed, but we had this. This is the second and final time in Shas this comes up. Chaval al deles le darsa. Chaval, woe to those who don't have a darsa. Rashi says darsa is a chatzer. They don't have the yard, vitara le darsa ovid, but they have the gate. They have a gate, but it goes nowhere. Right? So Torah is supposed to lead me to Yerushalayim. So I have the Torah, but I have the gate, but where does it get me? Right, that's the goal. The goal is right. The goal is that the Torah should go through us, not that we should go through Torah. Right, that we have to use it. Amaluhu Rava l'Rabbanan b'matusa minaychu. Excuse me, b'matusa minaychu lo tersin tarti gehenim. Don't yarshin a double gehenim. What does a double gehenim mean? So Rashi says if a Talmid Chacham starves himself, so to speak, from gashmius, but doesn't act appropriately, then he's losing out this world, and he's losing out next world. So it's double Gehenim. This world's a Gehenim for him, and next world's a Gehenim for him. But the Marsha says, no, different Pshat. The Gemara says elsewhere that every tzaddik gets his chelik in Gan Eden, and all the people that he affected, he gets their chelik, portion of their chelik too. That's the double. But the opposite, Rachman al-Islam, if a person infects somebody negatively, then it's not only their chelik in Gehenim, it's other people's chelik in Gehenim. Because whatever I'm responsible for. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to realize Ein Adam Ben Chor and Ela Mishi Asok BaTorah, we should get a double Gan Eden. This world is Gan Eden if we feel accomplished and we feel like we're using our life. Those who were in Gan Eden, Olam Haba here, and then we're in Olam Haba again in the next world. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsev v'zos haTorah Asher Sam Moshe. The pasuk that we say when by Hagba Zacha Nasis Lo Sam Chayit. If a person zochet to use Torah properly, it's the elixir of life. Lo zacha nasa lo samisa, and if not, Rachman al Islam, the opposite. The hainu de amarava de uman la, if somebody is skillful with it, sama de chaye, so then it's the medicine of life. De lo uman le sama de mosa, and if not, then it is the sam of death. Period. The Tosas Yishanim here, notes, what do you mean if you don't use it properly? Don't we have a Gemara elsewhere? Lolam yasuk adem batorah shalol lishma, should we talk shalol lishma balishma? So the Tosfos Yeshanim is printed on the next Amud, says, no, there are two types of Shalol Lishmas. There's one type of Shalol Lishma that, okay, I'm not so into it, but I'm going to learn anyway because I know you have to do it. And there's another type of Shalol Lishma that is totally Lahachis. I want to learn so I can cause problems. And I want to use a little information so I can ask Kashas. And I could get all the covenant in the world and I could put down the rabbi. And I says, that's the Lakanter. That's the type of Shalol Lishma. As the Gemara says elsewhere, Yoser Tov Shalol Nivra. Number one. And just to end off with the words of Rav Chaim, you can't talk about Torah Lishma and Shalol Lishma without the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Yivalashin says, in Shaar Dalad, which is all about Talmud Torah, that is the most nigle Shaar, the first three are more Nistar, but the fourth one is all about Talmud Torah, says the Nefesh HaChaim, Ha'adam HaMakabel Al Atzmo, Al Atz Ol HaTorah HaKadosha Lishma LaMita. It's someone who accepts the burden of Torah, lishma, who na'ale me'al kol inyani zeh ha'olam, he is uplifted out of this world, u'mushkach me'ito yisparach hashkacha pratis, and he zoche, the higher we purify ourselves in the world of Torah, the more hashkacha we're zoche to. L'mala me'hora'as kochos ha'tevaim b'ha'mazalos kulam, above teva, above the mazalos, Kibachu Dovuk Batora, because he's stuck in Torah. And if somebody is totally stuck in Torah, grasshoppers could come out and jump onto your Gemara, as we have mentioned in the past. Ubakadish Baruchu Mamish Kaviyachol. And we have direct Ashkacha from Hashem. Umiskadish Bektusha al Yonish al Torah Kdosha. It's only if somebody learns Torah Lishma for no other purpose than this is what Hashem says to do. And this is what we know the purpose of life is. Kol Mishtadel Boraisa, he quotes a Zohar, Batil Mine Chiyuva de Kochvaya Umazole. Whoever is Osik Batorah Lishma, then the Mazalos don't have any control over him. That's what the Tosfos Yesharim is alluding to here. Two types of Shalom Lishma. One is acceptable, one is not acceptable, but obviously the greatest is De'uman Lei Sama Dechai. If we use it skillfully, so then it is the elixir of life. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but we'll continue with the last couple of points related to Simcha and enjoying Talmud Torah. We'll start by the time with that, then we get back to the Big Day Kahuna a little bit, finishing up the seventh perek, and then getting into the last perek, the Sugya of Chatzishir, which is the beginning of the eighth and final perek here in Maseches Yuma. Okay, we'll stop here.